actually level up. Level up.
Sierra. What up, y'all? Laughter and air horns meet. It's us. Afro Movie Review, the podcast, back with another episode. The voice you're hearing is Mo. She, her pronouns. Afro Movie Reviewer, the chocolate chip podcaster.
And I am Keek, say them pronouns, Afro Movie Reviewer, your favorite trans podcaster.
Welcome back. Yes, yes, y'all. This is season 7, episode 83. The movie is A League of Their Own. The original one, 1992. We're going to do this rock, paper, scissors.
On the camp, original one.
Because they have a remake that came out for 2022 or 2023.
Oh, my.
Oh, I'm going to reference.
Okay.
Let me pull it up. Yeah, we got facts in this one, y'all.
I was like, what? I thought this was the only one.
We'll talk about it. So,
yes. Remake season.
Well, it kind of.
You know what? Okay.
Wait, okay. Rock, paper, scissors on camera. The year is 1992, y'all.
Rock, paper, scissors. Shoot.
Beat your ass. Bow,
you
wasn't
gonna be kidding with me.
I'm trying to get better.
Okay, exactly.
Trying to get better. Okay, so I'm going to start with May 11th, 1992. We have the film adaptation of, I'm sorry, why did you pause like that? The film adaptation of Serafina. So you guys know I love Serafina. I talk about it all the time. Serafina stars Laleti Kalamo, Miriam Makeba, this is the exhaustion just kicking in, and Whoopi Goldberg. It premiered at the Cannes Festival in France. This is about the apartheid. It's an anti-apartheid musical. And I did not know that what we were getting was the film adaptation. I always thought Serafina was just the movie. My grandfather introduced it to me. He had it on on VHS, and he also had the soundtrack. So it introduced me to international music in a different way, because he probably was my introduction to international music because of his love for jazz. This soundtrack was wonderful. But this is by Mbongi Ngema and Hugh Masekela, who I believe are both South Africans. And Mbongi Ngema is the playwright. He passed away in 2023, a couple days after Christmas, at the age of 68. He was in a car accident. But he is a South African playwright, lyricist, composer, and theater producer. Mans did the work while he was here. And Serafina is on our list of movies to watch. So I'm excited.
Yes, because I still haven't seen it. So
yeah.
That's
my first fact.
Oh, excuse me. My first fact is July 17th, Japanese swimmer Kyoko Iwasaki wins the 200-meter breaststroke in Barcelona, becoming the youngest to win an Olympic gold medal at 14 years old.
Hey.
Look, a certified swimming instructor, she worked as a sports commenter and held various positions in the Japanese Olympic Committee and Swimming Federation, and she still claims the title of the youngest to win an Olympic gold medal in swimming. And I got that from Japan-Forward.com.
I'm about to copy you. So my second fact is March 1st, Jenny Thompson swims the 100-meter freestyle and gets a world record at 54.48 seconds at the U.S. Olympic Trials in Indianapolis, Indiana. She was 19 years old. She passed Kristen Otto, who got it in 1986 by 0.25 seconds, but she had a tainted record because she was using GDR steroids. So she did this with no steroids. She is currently an anesthesiologist. Bitchery.
School.
Come on now. She is one of the most decorated Olympians in history. 12 medals, including 8 gold medals. She got 1992, 1996, 2000, and the 2004 Summer Olympics. And at the age of 14 in 1987, she won the 50-meter freestyle, and she placed third in the 100-meter freestyles at the Pan American Games, and that's when she came on the map. And people were like, who is this? There's a young lady who is swimming right now who, I think her name is Kelsey, but I can't, or it's something, and I don't want to misquote. But this young lady is swimming so fast that she beat the other swimmers in her like 400 by 20 seconds. It took so long for them to come into frame that it looked like it was in slow-mo.
Wow.
There are some American swimmers doing excellent things, but about Jenny Thompson, she received her medical degree in 2006 from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. She did her internship at the New York City Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center and her residency in anesthesiology at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. She is bad bitchery. She is also a volunteer celebrity swimmer for Swim Across America, which is a charitable organization that raises money for cancer research, and she's been doing that since 1995.
Yes.
How fun that we had comparable facts.
My next fact is also a sport fact.
Oh, not you trying to be me. Okay, go ahead.
June 11th, Tracy Austin is the youngest person to be inducted in the International Tennis Hall of Fame at 29 years old.
All right, now.
A month after turning 14, she won her first professional singles title in Portland.
Keeks, what the fuck you was doing at 14?
Not that.
Bullshit. I was bullshit. I promise you I was.
I was not on my A game.
Oh.
She has won 3 major titles in women's singles, 1979, U.S. Opens, 1981, which makes her the youngest U.S. Open female singles champion at 16, okay. A title she still holds. And she also won the title at the mixed doubles in the 1980 Wimbledon Championship. She's won over 30 single titles during her career on all surfaces. Unfortunately, a car accident cut her career short in 1989. But after tennis, she worked as a commentator for NBC, the U.S. Network for the French Open, and the U.S. Open. And she usually participates in the Wimbledon coverage. Her older sister and 3 brothers are also professional tennis players.
Wow.
Like, just family full of talent.
And the money to have tennis lessons for 4 kids. God damn. Yeah. Okay, my last fact is short and sweet. March 18th, 1992, American pop singer Donna Summer gets a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Is this posthumously? Was she so
Oh, let me see. I hope not. No, we've talked about Donna Summer. Let's see. When did she pass?
It's just the numbers. The
she dates. Passed. Nope, 2012. She was
okay, alive. Good. Yes.
Because you know they're trying to give Prince a star on the Walk of Fame. And people are like,
how does Prince want a star?
How did Prince not have he didn't want one. They've asked him twice and he was like, no thanks. So now that he has passed on, they're like, oh, we're gonna give it to him. He did not want one.
And we've talked about how you get a star. That shit costs $20,000. Like,
yeah, and you have to promise to be there. And he said, I'm not promising to be nowhere, bitch. That.
Catch me
slacking, bitch. Like, that is funny to me. All right, what's your last fact?
My last fact is January 1st, International Space Year begins. I was like, folks should be making up things. It's the 500-year anniversary of Christopher Columbus' voyage to Turtle Island. That's why they made this International Space Year. Everybody boo this nigga.
Boo! Yeah, boo that. Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, that bothered me so much. But
yeah. Okay.
The
plug.
It's the plug.
The plug. The plug for this season is take care of yourself, take care of others. Keeks.
It's still Pride Month. Donate to a Black trans woman's.
I know.
Right. Goddamn surgery. Gender affirming surgery. I was like, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm tired. Into a Black trans woman's gender affirming surgery.
Let's get to the review, y'all. So the movie of the episode is 1992. The year is 1992. The movie of the episode is A League of Their Own. Our director is Penny Marshall. We've actually talked about Penny Marshall just briefly because in season 1, episode 7, Pretty Woman, we talked about her brother, Gary Marshall. He was the director of Pretty Woman. Yeah. So now I'm wondering if some of this sibling rivalry that we're seeing is a reflection of them. Was that them, Penny Marshall?
Pretty Woman was very much, it wasn't a bad movie, it was just very much, I don't know.
But it was a man, telling a sex worker's story, right?
Yeah, that was
problematic. What was your categories for this movie?
I have, you niggas should have died in the war. I have, sis, get it together. Count your fucking days. I have quintessential American. What you trying to say? I have a and then I have a LOL.
Please repeat the first category. I just would have laughed at you.
You niggas should have died in the war.
And I had to mouth it with you, baby. That is funny.
I know it's World War II, but you should have died in World War I. Like, still. Like, or you should have went to war in that.
Should have did something. You should have did something better than this. Bothering these women at home.
They're your categories.
My categories are capital letters, girl. Very exasperated. I have a LOL. I have ride for your folk. Girl, fuck you with a question mark and be a man question mark. Go to war question mark. That's what I left so far. Cause I said, damn. I said just go to war. You told these fuckers to die.
Just you're not needed.
Oh my god, let's get into it.
I'm realizing, I'm like, did I rank this movie? I don't think I ranked this movie. Let me rank this movie real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, because I knew what my ranking was. It wasn't going to change.
Okay, feel it. What was your ranking?
A 6 out of 10.
You gave it a 6. Okay, I gave it a 4 out of 10. Let's talk about the whys.
So I love the, like, oh, sisterhood. Oh, it was very white, though. I would tell you that because they had 2 instances of Black people. One was the
Negroes and jazz,
which I laughed my ass off because I was like, not you dancing to this devil's music. And just the history behind jazz and like why square dancing was created. I was like, that shit is funny. And then the other one was like the Black woman throwing the ball. And I was like, the person
who caught it being like, whew, because that was an arm.
Right. Now, and I'm just like, bitch, what?
So this was my thing because I had the exact same feeling. And I was like, you know what? It's not Penny Marshall's fault that America is racist as fuck, is discriminatory and had segregations and those types of things. Not her fault, right? But she chose to make this story that is a historical fiction. At the last scene when they are being inducted into the Hall of Fame, there were multiple women who were a part of the original league there in that scene. It was awesome to be able to have women there. But she chose to make this movie about a sibling rivalry, about choosing their men and things like that. Not that it could not have been real, but the sibling rivalry being the focus of it was an option. I'm not even mad about that. I'm not even mad at it.
I'm so salty about that. I'm lowering my rank.
Wait, is it because of how Kit was treated?
It was because... So the whole dynamic between Kit and... what's that girl named? Dottie? That bothered me because it was like Kit was insecure because she was always compared to Dottie. Get that. But also, like, sis.
Part of my girl was exasperation with Kit specifically. But it was also like there was times where I don't know if Dottie was playing into it or if she knew she was playing into it, but it was just kind of like, I felt
Dottie
like but
pissed me off. I feel like she did because especially when Doug, is that her husband's name? I don't know.
Husband came back home.
Sequester. Don't he look like fucking Robin Williams? I said, that's Robin Williams. That is
he Bill. Is that, yeah. Look at he. You know his face from other things. I think he was in something goofy, maybe. Dang.
I was like, okay. Oh my God.
Now you done fucked me up.
Sorry, but the way he came home and he was like, oh, you're so beautiful. And she's like, I don't really think so. And I'm like, bitch, you know you beautiful. Like, stop playing with that shit. I hate bitches like that. Like, yes, you pretty. Just say you fucking pretty. Like,
well,
and
I get having low her after. He was seeing her after a game. She had just been crying. I don't think it was about her self-esteem. I think in that moment, she didn't feel pretty because she had not been able to prepare for him in the way that she would have if she known he was coming home, right? Because this is a man coming home post-war. If you get the letter that your man coming home, what are you going to do? Get your eyebrows done, get your hair done, everything did, right? You're going to smell good, look good, so that when this man comes and sees you, he is, like, you are the dream that you think that he imagined is what that quintessential, that category that you have. That's what I'm thinking. I think it is less, not necessarily about, for me, I don't think that it was about her having low self-esteem. It was the fact that he caught her in a moment that she had not prepared for him, and he still thought she was beautiful. And I think, you know, when you got your bonnet on and you just woke up and it's crust on your mouth and your eyeball, and maybe you have a booger and a nigga tell you that you look good, you're like, bitch, you like me like that?
It's, but I got that throughout the whole film, even when they were doing, like, was it the Life magazine? And they were like, oh, they want to interview you, Dottie. And she's like, why me? Like, bitch, you know why.
She, but she also played into when she did that split, she understood her responsibility to the team. I just thought that it was interesting for Penny Marshall to have that be the focus, because like you said, it was emphasized all throughout the film, rivalry, where Dottie was made to be top dog, you know what I'm saying? And I wonder if there was any rivalry between her and her brother Gary Marshall. But I also think it was a decision not to include more of the segregation and things that were happening in the world, because while the men, white men, and people of color, but while white men were facing front lines during World War II, black men were a part of that in very lower ranking. They got drafted, they got pulled, no matter if they were able to fight front of line or whatever, right? But then also the rest of the community, the rest of the country came together, not just around baseball, but women in the factories. That's where we have Rosie the Riveter and all that other stuff that comes up. So for Penny Marshall not to decide to touch on that and highlight the other things, we understand that it has to be baseball. Did this team never go see a Negro League play? Did they not know that Negro Leagues were around? Because what did we discover, Keeks?
Oh, that there was black women softball leagues. Like
we saw on Twitter.
And then I had to find, I was like, oh, what the hell is this? Because
so we have the Owls from 1930s. We seen this picture on Twitter, just so happened to be perfectly timed. And we're like, right. Look at that. Because this is supposed to be set in 1943. So women had already been playing baseball, of course. But now we have a national league. Seattle had its own league for the city. So I'm wondering if this is the same thing like the ladies were doing beforehand, before it became a national league. But the fact that that was around and that the black players were not included in this. Penny Marshall, with this being a historical fiction that she's just making the fuck up, she could have decided to include. And this was also happening.
Right. And it's not even because from the article that I read, black women were banned from playing in the AAGPBO, which is like the women's league, like their official name. But they still had professional games and they still had amateur games and things like that. So I don't understand why, maybe even a scene to be like, oh, yeah, they went to this black game and it's like, oh, let me see, you know,
just what. To see the skills. And because literally the game of baseball changed with the integration of and inclusion of black players. Black players had been, and we've talked about this before, black players in baseball were playing and doing things that the white baseball league had never seen before. So when the baseball league started going and trying to compete with the Negro League and getting their asses blown out, they were like, maybe we should just incorporate them here because what the fuck is up? One of the other things that I found out, you said the AAGPBL, it's the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Mm-hmm. And they had 65 of the original members who were able to appear in that scene.
That's so cute.
Very cute. It was, that was very cute. But I did figure out that I saw that in 1884, we had one of the first black players he was the first black player. A lot of people like to give it to Jackie Robinson for breaking the color line. Turns out 1884, Moses Fleetwood Walker was playing.
Yeah.
He was playing with him. I love that so much. So that was cool.
And another thing that bothers me about this is that they didn't even win or like go to the World Series that year. That wasn't their team, but they did go to the World Series and they won, just not that year. So if you can make it seem like, oh, they won this year, which they did not compete in, they were not there, why can't you make it seem like other things were a factor? Or why didn't you make it to a year that they won? Like, what was the point in that? To be absolutely. Like, oh, they inspired so many people, but also they didn't go to the World Series. Like, and, I get and, a feel good guess, story, but like,
yeah. So I wonder, again, my newest thing is wondering how much is on the cutting room floor. Like, how much of the story or of the director's goals were taken away from them? Penny Marshall is She's best known for her role as Laverne and Shirley, but her directorial, the movies that she decides to choose and give, she typically is hard-hitting. So mm-hmm. Penny Marshall did Jumpin' Jack Flash, which is where we see Whoopi Goldberg as a accounting direct with all white people, but like all white mm-hmm. men, specifically black women of power in that position. That's 1986. Right. Then we have Big, 1988, where Tom Hanks is a baby, and one day he wakes up huge, and the scene where he's at that toy store Schwartz and he's dancing on the huge piano, it impacted so many people's lives. It is part of the reason when I see a huge piano, I am upset that I only know one thing on the piano, because if I could get down, it would be like Big. She also did are you ready for this? She did The Preacher's Wife with Forest Whitaker, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
She did Riding in Cars with Boys. She did Cinderella Man, and she did Bewitched. The movies that she does are big and impactful. So I was like, wow, for this to be one of, this was not her first movie, was not her second. For this to be a movie, she was choosing movies that would have impactful direction on it. And she chose to do a historical fiction so that she could give people a piece of history. But when I tell you, I know white people that will cry. Sob. As soon as Madonna song come on at the end of the credits. This used to be my play, bitch. Tears. Full on white woman tears. Penny Marshall impacted with this movie.
When I tell you, okay, I did cry. That's why I had gave it, like, I'm not even gonna lie. I was like, oh my God, Evelyn died. Oh my God, these people have died.
So you can't change your rank because you was in it.
Mind. It was just the whole dynamic with the siblings. I was like, why was it necessary? And also, I felt like, what's that girl named? Dottie? I don't know why I want to call her Penny. Dottie. Because that's probably who she is. I don't know. Maybe Penny is supposed to represent, Dottie is supposed to represent Penny. But
I feel like Penny would be represented by Kit. She's the younger sister in real life. She's the younger sister.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Dottie threw the game for her.
She absolutely did.
It makes sense, though, because she didn't want to play. She wanted to start a family. And she knew that Kit wanted this to be her life. Like, I get why you did it. But, bitch, if you dogging me and being like, oh, I'm the reason, you the reason nothing in my life is good, I'm going to show you that ain't nothing in your life good because of me, bitch. I'm going to be the goddamn.
That's why your ass.
I'm something different. Like, you sitting there blaming me because you're so insecure. That shit pissed me off. Like, oh, sisterly, siblingly love. Like, no, bitch. Let me show you.
But you know what? I think that's also part of being the older sibling, is understanding the responsibility that you have to make sure that your sibling feels loved. It's a lot of responsibility being the older sibling. I need to make sure that my baby feels loved and protected by me, and to take that away from her would have an impact that would make it so she doesn't feel safe with me going forward. And I don't want this as bad as she does. So why would I take it? You know what I mean? There's a lot of responsibility in being the older sibling. And that's why sometimes it was for me like, the girl was sometimes it was Kit, sometimes it was Dottie, because I understood what she was and was not doing. But I also was like, you need to stop that shit. It's not babying. Sometimes it's coddling.
And it's very much coddling. It feels a little parentification. Because why do I have to tear myself down for you to be built up?
But it's also, if I don't give you the opportunity to shine, do you know that you can?
She knew that she could shine, though. That's the thing.
But do you know
that's the reason why she...
If we are flashing lights at the same time and my light is a little brighter, do you know that yours is being seen? Like, it's kind of like that. They had the same type of... I don't know. They had the same upbringing and things like that. But she just felt like her light was not being seen. So she gave her sister an opportunity to have it seen in the grandest of arenas, in the thing that she wanted the most. And it was a very responsible decision for an older sister.
That's fair. One of the things that Kit pissed me off with was when she was traded. I was like, girl, this is your time to differentiate from your sister. Because you can't get from under her ass. Like, go.
Yeah,
go be you. Go be great in you. And then she had that tantrum. She had that tantrum. I didn't want to call it a tantrum. She had that emotional moment during the World Series, and it was like, oh, I'm never as good as my sister. Like, bitch,
you're that whole panic attack, I said, girl, it was my fault. It's my fault. Like, girl, I was so upset. Adati is played by Gina Davis, who we know because them cheekbones. The older lady, I knew immediately when they started the movie that she was going to be playing older Gina Davis, because that woman herself, cheekbones. I mean, mm-hmm. Gina Davis got cheeks for the gods. Arched. She is that girl. You know her from, she was the mom in
Beetlejuice. She's got to go. A Grammy and an Oscar.
I was like, she got to go? Why? I love.
We keep with this theme of like.
We going to keep giving it to, okay. She's also, since this movie, and I don't know if it was before, let me not say that. She is a supporter of Women's Sports Foundation and the advocacy of Title IX. Which is an act of Congress focused on the equality of sports opportunities and now expanding to prohibiting gender discrimination in American educational institutions. I love that people are continuing their work outside of the role that they played or outside of something that was temporary for them. I love that. Kit is played by Lori Petty. She is an American actress, director, and screenwriter. We know her from Cadillac Man, maybe not, mostly from A League of Their Own. I know her from Free Willy because she plays one of the scientists.
She made an appearance at Orange is the New Black.
And then she's Lolly from Orange is the, and she's always an eccentric, short cut, whatever. I love her. She is also, she works. Like, she's her being a director and screenwriter. Again, we are seeing people that are stepping out of the role that they decided to.
1985. That,
getting to it. Jimmy is played by Tom Hanks. The only thing we need to say about him is he is the father of Chet. How all your other babies okay and Chet is like he is? It's the middle baby syndrome.
He has an E, seven E's. And then
seven E's?
He has seven E's. An ego.
He is Jacques.
With one Grammy and two Oscars. Like,
get up, go off. Go off.
But the way I confuse him and Tom Hanks, that is Tom Hanks. Him and Tom Cruise, where I just called him the Toms from now on.
No. You, when we get into some Tom Cruise shit, you will never do that again.
The way they look so much alike. And then I have to remember, to me, I don't watch movies. Like, and I'm sitting here, I have a list of their movies, like Forrest Gump. I just realized, oh, this was the nigga in Da Vinci Code, not the other nigga. So,
yeah. This is Wilson. Wilson!
I ain't watched that.
Hilarious.
I know the reference.
Okay, as long as you know the reference. Rosie O'Donnell plays Doris. She is the American comedian, television producer, actress, author, and television personality. I didn't know she got her breakthrough on Star Search in 1984. Star Search used to be the business.
It really did.
Wow. She hosted her own show between 1996 and 2002. She has been she got the nickname Queen of Nice. And it's funny because the only person that I know who ever called her out for being not so nice was Miss Pretty Woman.
I hear she's not nice. I don't know how she got that.
I heard she was, that's what the nickname said, but what you call it?
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts was like, yeah, girl, you said something about me that was not true and it wasn't so nice and you said it on air. And when I decided to accept, it was just during her television show, her daytime television show. She said, when I decided to come on here, I said, oh, I'm definitely clearing this up on air so you can apologize to me.
Because, girl.
Because don't do that. she appeared on a sitcom of Will and Grace in 2002 and she played a lesbian mom. And then a month later, she came out as gay for real. And she was like, what's the big deal? Madonna, Queen of Pop, is all up in here. She, like I said, the song at the end of the credits is This Used to Be My Playground. I know, not only because I know softball players from like my experience playing the game very briefly, but because I just happen to know a lot of athletes, women athletes, specifically for some reason, they were typically, I don't know a lot of basketball players. Y'all should let me holla though. Anyways. I would love to go to a basketball game.
The way I ain't seen basketball like in forever until they started talking about her, I was like, oh.
You know what kind of messed me up?
For
this time last year, I looked in, no, Around January last year, I looked into getting season tickets for Atlanta Dream, and I filled it out online, and they were like, it was kind of aggressive the way that they would call you, hit you up, and like whatever. And then the one time I scheduled a time for the person to call me up, call me back, because I was going to talk to Babe about the section we wanted to go to, and she never called me back. So I was like, how you been stalking me for weeks? I tell you to call me on this specific date. I'm going to be ready with my credit card. And you don't call me back. So I didn't get no tickets. Those tickets would have been for this season.
No.
Here I am being stank booty and missed out on my own opportunities. But anyways.
Back, though. It's a commission, babe. Do you want it or not?
Because she had been stalking me, like legit, emailing me twice a day and calling me. I was like, okay, call me at this time. I will have my card number ready and I will know what section I want to be in. There was no call. I was very I was confused about that. But
I don't know how to work. So sucks.
Madonna is in this, and Madonna has a range as far as the pop star in her and as far as her acting. She's been around. She sprinkled herself all up and through there.
Did not recognize that was Madonna. I was like, Madonna.
Yeah. She was so young and like had the, like she still looks like the spicy white that she is.
The way I thought she was always blonde, I was like, oh, that's not.
It was probably a wig.
See there?
And no, like, oh. Madonna came out with brown hair. I'm sorry.
Madonna has brown hair?
Madonna dropped brown hair. Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, oh, that's the way. And then I was like, Madonna? Wait a minute. Well, there's her blonde hairs.
Super fun. You know Madge. You don't know Madonna's. You know Madge, the superstar, the pop star, when she came out. But like Madonna, I think Madonna dropped with blonde hair. I'm lying like a bitch. She dropped with blonde hair and her roots showing is what the fuck it is.
Okay. But I hear most blondes are not true blondes anyway. They're like dyed, so it's okay. You do you, babe.
I don't know why that's the standard. They should let that go.
Because blondes have fun and like it's a patriarchy thing. Anyway.
It is. So I thought it was very interesting that they did this with the production company was Columbia Pictures. The budget was $40 million. Where do you think that the money was distributed? Like, how do you think they allocated?
$40 million.
$40 million in 1991, because filming 1991 and then release 1992.
Did they go on location?
They were on location in multiple places. They filmed it in Cooperstown, New York. They filmed it in like a spot in Iowa. They filmed it. They did film in a couple different places.
Okay.
For the different fields.
I'm sure that's not all.
But I guess maybe to be able to to go to location, to take up the space because you're recording on the field and it has to be during summertime because that's when the league is playing. So there's actual leagues that would be there that you were displacing. I guess you pay for that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but $40 million seemed like a lot for me. And it wasn't necessarily just the actors. Like they had a good How did you feel about Tom Hanks' character, Jimmy?
That nigga is the reason why you niggas should have died in the word category is there. Like, that bitch right there, he got on my fucking nerves. Like, that fucking spitting was...
Drove
me up a fucking wall. And then you want to... The way I try not to be like a respectability politics bitch, but you showed the fuck up drunk, and then you want to piss in front of me, and then... tear up the fucking baseball card that my husband George will kill me over.
Oh my gosh. And then when she got the news that her husband was dead, Betty just was like, she was broken. Oh my God. That was so sad.
I hate his character.
And she didn't have the fucking card that her husband left. Like I don't know how much she has left of him, but that was something she was traveling with. That was her husband's that she felt, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God. I also felt like I was kind of frustrated with how they were I don't even know if that's the word. They made the women more mask because they were tomboys. Some of them were femmy out, like May. She definitely was like, oh baby, May is not just a name, it's a mood. Like she was like, she's trying to let you know who she was with.
Personified as like the slut. And
she was personified as a slut. So I did not like that because then you have Doris, who is heavyset, but she was saying how she paired up with her guy because none of the other guys were looking at her. She was very surprised at the attention that she was getting from guys. And there were two guys. Maybe it was more than two, but it seemed like these two guys were following her, showing up at games to be able to give her adoration. But I wondered if...
You mean Marlo?
No. Doris. I wondered
Rose
if...
Rosie O'Donnell?
Yes, because Marla specifically, they made her seem like she was the ugliest thing.
Ugly.
She was just, and she was the, and she of all people, as the single person on the group, was the first to get married. As you know, on the team of everybody else who was paired up, fine. The single ones, ain't y'all out here searching? We ain't heard nothing about your man, but Marla up here, she got married. So I thought it was interesting how she tried, but it was also a choice to try to represent the spectrum of women and how things could be. Because I think that Doris's character, if that is a real representation of a character on there, probably would have been a lesbian had it been comfortable or acceptable in 1943. And she needed to show how, you know, this person kind of conformed to finding a man because that's what she was supposed to do. And then when other men were looking at her, she had to be convinced to like it because she was like, and it might have been that she wasn't used to it. It might have been that she didn't like it. But
I either missed it or misunderstood it because I thought it was Marla and the twins. I was like, look at Marla.
Marla had that guy from the jazz club with the Negroes and Jazz. Nelson, he fell in love with her that night.
Respect that you married, girl.
Boom. He fell in love with her that night and she didn't deviate. Yeah. He was with. So that was kind of interesting. I thought that the dynamic between the sisters was also frustrating. Why? Because Kit was going to be playing the game. Did you guys need to be separated for almost, it seemed like 40 years?
That was very weird too. Like, I appreciate, and I did cry like a little baby
little
when they met
bitch.
Up. But I was like,
that hug. When did you figure out? Did you see that Kit had a granddaughter named Dottie?
Oh, that's cute.
That's
but I also, mean, why did it take you 40 years to meet up again?
If you feel
and
that
why
strongly
didn't
about
Dottie
your
bring
sister,
her children if Kit was bringing her whole family. Like, I didn't really understand.
Dottie also, in the beginning, I was like, why is she so hesitant about going if the whole story is about how impactful she was? But then at the end, when she's not included in any, like, most of those pictures except for that one with her and her sister, because she only played the one season. So right. I think that's where it was the lean towards the truth, where they didn't actually go to the World Series that year. So even if she was included in their up-and-coming process, she wouldn't be included in the Hall of Fame because they didn't get to Hall of Fame status until next year when they won the World Series and things like that, right. And she wasn't included. So now that you've said that they, you know, that there was a little bit of bend on the truth, I think that was part of the dynamic that we were seeing, is that she literally gave the spotlight to Kit and Kit took off with that shit. And she was still able to do the things that Dottie herself did. She had kids, you know, she had her husband, right. Had kids, had grandkids. So did Kit. She didn't miss out on any parts of her life. And maybe who knows the age difference? Because me, elder, I have more than 5 years on my sister. Some of the things that she's able to do, if we were doing things at the same time, my clock is ticking a little faster than hers.
Mm-hmm.
Considerations have to be different. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah. That was a good movie. I will say that I feel like they played up, I'm going to say 2 points. So they played up the masculinization of women, which, because they play baseball, which I'm like, baseball is a gay ass sport. Don't y'all be hitting niggas on the ass.
That's Have you seen fight. The fights? Have you seen, the fights is very queer. Just say you want to kiss.
Come on. Like,
orgies.
What? And a lot of that, they were getting paid. Oh, I did the conversion for the $75 a week. That was, let me see if I can find it. $1,300 a week.
That's not bad. I saw that in 1945 at the Negro League, Jackie Robinson was being paid $400 a month. And then when he got to the Kansas City Monarchs, he was getting paid $600 a month, which is the equivalent of $10,155 a month.
Damn.
So that is in 45? So the money for them, like when May was like, bitch, I'm not going back to the club. She meant because that 10 cents, 10 that, cents for dance, 10 cents could have covered a lot of things for them. She was making a nice amount of money in comparison, mm-hmm. You know, to what she was making on the team.
Right.
So
the misogyny in this was just, it was, and I get it, different times.
Thick. It was heavy.
It was bothering.
It was.
I get it.
But I have still, two things that I want to point out.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now there's a commercial that's going on with Jennifer, whichever one, Miss What's in Your Wallet, Capital One. And they have, are you crying in baseball? Have you seen it? They have one that's referencing the movie. And she's like, are you crying about your credit card? You can't cry about your credit card. So that's very fun because we've now seen the movie. And ew. I've always known that because are you crying in baseball? The one that he's talking to is Biddy Schramm. She is Sharona from Monk. Dog. Oh my god, Monk is I didn't know that Monk was as fun as it is. I'm all into it. Like, I love Monk. And then the second thing that I want to bring up is that we would not be able to review it on this show. If we were to do a series review, we would be able to, because A League of Their Own that dropped in 2022 is a TV series. And that mm-hmm. one has more Black people in it. I am not completely sure if the premise of the movie is to explore what the Black women and Black leagues were doing. Let's see. So this talks about, yeah, the World War II era women's baseball. And so it's talking about the Rockford Peaches. It's still talking about the same, but it's Maxine Chapman who is obsessing about the fact that none of the leagues will even let her try out.
Mm.
So that is what's happening. It's the same. I'm assuming that it's the same type of things that are going on. They have the highly sexualized one. They have the team, the catcher. They have the masculine one. They have the one that is hiding her lesbian sexuality. They have, so it's pretty much the same things. The only things that I'm seeing that are different is that they are incorporating the fact that Black people were not allowed to even try out for a lot of these places. And the other thing I want to point out is that there are a lot of Black baseball players who were upset about the fact that Jackie Robinson is credited with breaking the color line because they felt like he was not the best player. There was a player by the name of Josh Gibson who died at 37, and multiple Black baseball players said that the reason Josh Gibson died so early is because he was heartbroken about how baseball mm-hmm. treated him. Yeah. Yeah, like he had been bawling his ass off, and I don't know if it was that he wasn't, I don't know what the reasons would be for him not being the face of baseball or to break the color lines, but he was heartbroken and he passed early. So yeah. I wanted to give shout out to Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, Larry Dobby, Moses Fleetwood Walker, and some of the other baseball players that we've mentioned on this podcast, especially the Black ones, because we knew, but how we didn't really know and can't really know how hard you guys had to work to be able to do that. But
I didn't do it. Shit.
I didn't do it. And I appreciate you working hard for it, because by the time I got into baseball, everybody was there. Everybody was there.
And that's
at the games, point. In the audience, on the teams, in the dugout. Like, everybody was there. So I appreciate the work that they did to make that experience for me. Because one of the things I remember most about my great-grandfather is being able to sit with him and watch a game.
Mm.
He had the patience. This nigga also fished, though. People who fish have a lot of patience. People who enjoy baseball watching got a lot of patience.
I feel like golf would be the one you'll have a lot of patience with. Your face.
I feel like that's aggressive. I feel like golf is lightweight aggressive. Like, it's focusing. Like, you have to focus. But why are you, like, you know what I'm saying? Because like, it's like a lot of walking. Like, you get to be like, bitch. And then you got to walk far as shit to get to the next bitch.
Like, expression. Let's aim it out and then walk it out.
Yeah. Like, it's on the low, right? What were the ticks for your category?
These ticks were, you niggas should have died in the war was 26. Sis Get It Together was 18. Because honestly, it was also Evelyn and her child. And also, God,
yeah, that baby.
Some sunscreen on them kids. Like, girl, why they so red?
Uh-huh.
count your fucking days at 11. Apparently, I didn't count them.
I was like, so, what are you doing? Like, oh, counting.
Quintessential America had 9. What You Trying to Say had 19. LOL had 29. And 2 for math. Damn. 6. 8 had ill. Ill had 8. God.
Okay. So for me, girl, I had 11. The LOLs was 14. The writing was, I appreciate, there was very funny things. Some things, of course, me and my inappropriate laughter. Ride for Your Folk had 12. I appreciated how they stood up for each other. Not even the siblings, the team, how eventually Jimmy was able to come around and stick up for, like, I appreciated the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. Girl, Fuck You with a question mark at 16. There were so many times that I was offended by things that were happening in a way that older sister offended younger sister. I'm not a younger sister to anybody other than to my chosen family, and they don't offend me in those ways. So I don't have true reference of it. But from where I could try to get some understanding, I was like, be a man, question mark, go to war, question mark, had 6. Because there were 6 very specific times that it probably was more of a feeling, but like more... be in service to your country and stop talking to me type.
Yeah. Image. A lot of mine was probably the misogyny. It was bothering. Yeah. Like, sir, I will say the last living player of the first Peaches roster, pitcher Mary Pratt, died in 2020 at the age of 101.
Go ahead. Go off, sis.
Like, my God.
Well, white woman. She's not a sister of mine, but she's somebody's sister.
Yeah.
But go off, lady. She did that. So how much do you think? I'm going to start a new thing for us.
So fucking funny.
How much do you think this movie pulled in revenue? $40 million budget.
Was it worldwide?
Worldwide release, because Columbia Pictures.
Okay. $40 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's a cult classic, so I want to say they at least tripled that. Maybe quadrupled it. So at least 160.
You were good with the triple. They made $132.4 million worldwide. Okay. This is a cult classic. So if we were to do calculations with how many people have rented, streamed, DVD, the number would be astronomical. Because like you said, cult classic. Even good enough for them to do a recreation that is a television series so they can get more of your streaming money in 2022. So very cool. Is your ranking still a 6?
No, I gave it a 5.
Okay, so now I got to do calculations, damn it, because your ass done shit. No, that's five. Okay. I love you for it. So five, mine was four. A 4.
Four and
that's
a half?
A 9, so it's a 4.5 out of 10, which, of course, I think that people are going to be like, what the fuck? But it's only because it's a cult classic. IMDb gave this a 7.3 out of 10, and a Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 81%. I again think that it's because it's a cult classic. I think that some of the directorial decisions were very inclusive, and some of them were also exclusionary, and there was a decision to do that. And it's not Penny Marshall's fault that the world was racist at the time. Not mad at her for it. I just feel like there could have been more sprinkles of pepper in your mashed potatoes and butter.
It was
a good movie. I would actually watch it again. That's the first time I've ever watched it fully through.
This is the first time I've watched it. It would give me a minute to watch it again. The rivalry was very bothering. The misogyny was extremely bothering.
And it was them taking pictures of their bruises and then for them to sexualize it, trying to get I understand they had to hype it up, the people, but like also that be a man question mark, go to war was about the audience. But you are here because you a bitch, you owe, or you upset. Right. Shit.
A lot of them too. And then it won't be as funny because I was just cracking up because I'm funny. It just wouldn't hit the same because most of my shit is like, oh, look at that old ass shit that y'all got.
And it was like judging, like, but right. I understood, and I'm trying, you know, we're talking about giving more grace to things. That's why I was like, I took off a point when I realized that there could have been more emphasis on or more just paying attention to the fact that what was happening in sports and the color barriers. But I gave a point for the fact that they were legit in the Baseball Hall of Fame with 65 of them original. Like, that's awesome. That's cool. Awesome. So I just was like, Penny went out of her way to make sure that she could do certain things, and I appreciate that. So,
and this is in the Library of Congress. So
it's, look it, because Penny Marshall's films are impactful. And this being a historical fiction, she made a great one. So can't even be mad at it. That is episode 83, y'all.
Yeah.
Gang. We're going to see you guys ASAPtually. The next movie, Keeks, I'm actually very excited to get into.
I am excited. Y'all don't get to know. But we are excited.
You know what we did not do this episode?
Our lenses.
Let's end the episode with the lenses. Keeks, what do your lenses look like?
My lenses are very thin, round lens. Damn, that's a word. That's stacked on each other going downwards mid-cheek, and they move as one, with the bottom one being an areola and a nipple. And the nose bridge is the Sankofa symbol, because saggy titty supremacy. What are your lenses, Mom?
Hey, my lenses are a single wire copper bent leg and frame. The left one is half with a nodule in the middle. The lenses are brown. The right one is full, also with a line module thing through the middle. And they are tinted brown lenses. Those are our tites. We are respecting the ones that are full, mastectomy, taken by choice, whatever. And then we are also have the penises hanging by the balls on the legs. Those are our lenses for the season.
Yeah.
So now that was episode 83. We appreciate y'all. And that's us.
Tiny hearts, big hearts. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.